This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If I can humbly ask the brothers to try and come closer to each other, it also helps me from not having to look this way or that way as I am talking to you all, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I feel like I need to wake everyone up. It seems like someone has blocked the gate near Chaudhry's. So please, if that sounds like you, we shouldn't inconvenience others, inshallah ta'ala. So please, if it's you, if you can move your car, inshallah. Tayyib. Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah ta'ala, today's lecture is about the first Muslims. The first Muslims. Wallahi, I feel honored just speaking about the small group of people who stood by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who accepted the message that came from Allah and were the building blocks of what we call today the Muslim Ummah. And each one of these people that I will talk about today, some in more detail than others, are all considered the greatest heroes of Islam. All of the Sahaba are great heroes, but it is the ones who were there from the beginning, spread so far and wide. I'm going to be talking about moments where you only had three Muslims in the whole world. Just three. At some point, just two. And subhanAllah, the barakah of the da'wah of our Prophet and how it grew today, each one of us is a product of those very beginning moments of the spread of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last time in our last lesson, received revelation from Angel Jibreel and he was told, Qum fa'anzir, Qum fa'anzir, stand up and warn. Now this warning and this calling towards La ilaha illallah and the warning of a punishment and his own household and those closest to him. And remember the statement that Waraqa said to the Prophet. I said it now maybe twice. Waraqa, first let me ask you guys a question and raise your hand if you know the answer. Who was Waraqa ibn Nawfal? You were the first one to raise your answer. What's your name, by the way? Amir? Okay, Amir, tell me, who's Waraqa? Waraqa is Khadija's cousin, good. And what makes him special? And what did he say to the Prophet? Actually, you know what? Who was Waraqa, Khadija's cousin? That's a good answer. I shouldn't ask you more. I'll ask someone else the rest. What did Waraqa say to the Prophet that would predict what will happen to the Prophet once his message starts spreading? Go ahead. Attack you. What do you understand from the statement, when the people attack you, that there will be hostility towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's not going to be an easy message. It's not going to be a message that everyone accepts, and we know that from the seerah. Why is that important? That's important, my brothers and sisters, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will need support. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded the Prophet that his da'wah would be a secret call for the first 3 years. So for 3 years, the Prophet ﷺ is not publicly rebuking the idols and is not publicly calling to Islam. He's doing it one-to-one and in secret. What is the wisdom behind doing this? So that when the moment comes where he stands up against idol worship publicly and challenges Quraysh publicly, that at least there is some level of support there. It's very different when you go against them and it's just yourself versus when you go against them and there is some companions that are by your... The da'wah and the call and the mission was done in secret. And the Prophet ﷺ would go to people one-to-one and call them to Islam and tell them that he's a prophet. And he started with his family. And the first person to believe in him was Khadija bint Khuwaylid. The first person to accept him as a messenger, accept him as a prophet, say la ilaha illallah, and put her head down on the ground for Allah was Khadija bint Khuwaylid. The first person after the Prophet ﷺ. That is such an honor. That is such a great position. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha. And she started to pray with the Prophet and believe him as a messenger and dedicate her life, not just to support him as his wife, but as his companion. And her virtues are so many. Her virtues are so many. It is enough for us to know that one day Angel Jibreel descended from the heavens, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the creator of everything, sending his salam to Khadija bint Khuwaylid. What an impressive person she was. The first person to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many Muslims do we have then? The Prophet and Khadija. How many is that? Who was the third person? Now, let's stay in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had the Prophet's children, but a lot of them were grown up and married. But there was one boy, there's actually two boys that grew up in the Prophet's household that were not his children or his sons. One of them I already told you about, and his story and how he came into the custody or into the guardianship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We had a whole segment dedicated to him. Who can tell me what his name was? Yes, go ahead. Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha. And we'll, remember, Zayd ibn Haritha, we'll get to him. But there is another young boy that lives with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib is still around. So why does he live with the Prophet? Well, that's very simple. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle Abu Talib, who raised him, had many children. And he wasn't able to sustain and provide for all of them. So what he did was, some of his younger children, he would give them to his close relatives, his older sons, or his nephew, like the Prophet ﷺ, to help him raise his younger children. So one of them was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Ja'far, Ali's older brother, Ja'far. Ja'far lived with Abbas, the Prophet's uncle, and also his uncle, of course. He lived with Abbas. And Ali moved in with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if someone asks the question, why does Ali live with the Prophet? Because he was taking care of his cousin, because to ease the burden of an amazing house to live in. And Ali is 10 years old. When the Prophet becomes a prophet, he's 10 years old. And one day he sees Khadija and the Prophet praying. He doesn't know what's going on. He sees them praying. This also shows you, like I mentioned in my last class, how early Salah was a part of our deen. Now, how do you reconcile between our understanding that Salah was made obligatory far later on the 5 daily prayers, when the Prophet ﷺ makes the night journey to Allah, the night journey and the ascension to Allah, and them praying so early on? What was made obligatory then was the 5 regular daily prayers, but the concept of prayer existed way before that. So Ali sees his older cousin, who's practically raising him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Khadija praying. And he asks them what they are doing. What are you doing? He has been given the message that none has the right to worship except Allah, and that they are worshiping Allah alone and going against idolatry. And he explains the message of Islam to his cousin Ali, who's just a young kid. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, will you become a Muslim? Think about it for a second. It's not, yallah, we're counting you, you're one of the household, you're a Muslim. No. Islam is not something you just assume. It's something you accept. It's something you submit to. It's something you understand, comprehend, and live by. Will you become a Muslim? And what does Ali ibn Abi Talib say? He says, I'll think about it. He says, what? I'll think about it. This is quite fascinating because I want you to think of his age, especially the younger people here, right? Don't assume that you're not able to be mature just because of your age. When you want to be, you're very mature. And when you want to be, you're not. Look at Ali. He says, I'll think about it. Then he goes away. And the Prophet says to him, and listen to this. The Prophet says to him, if you're not going to be Muslim, if you're not going to be Muslim, faktum, then hide this. Don't tell anyone what I just told you. Don't tell anyone that I'm a prophet. Don't tell anyone I came with a new religion, a new way of life. And he doesn't tell anyone. After contemplation, he says, La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and he becomes Muslim. How many Muslims do we have now? I want to share with you a very interesting hadith that is narrated by a companion called Afif al-Kindi. He's a companion, and he becomes Muslim far later in the Prophet's life. But he said that one day, and this is mentioned by Ibn Ishaq, one day, I came to Mecca as a traveler, as a merchant. And he says, as I was doing dealings with him and talking to him, he said, I saw a man come out of a tent. A man come out and looked at the sun and then decided to pray. And I saw a young boy come stand next to him and pray with him. And I saw a woman come out and pray behind them. And he said to Abbas, Abbas, who are these people? And he said, Abbas told me, oh, that's my nephew, Muhammad. And that's my younger nephew, Ali. And that's Muhammad's wife, Khadija. They have a new religion. He calls himself a prophet. He calls himself a prophet. He claims that one day he will conquer Persia. And I left. Later on, Afif becomes Muslim and he says, I could have been the fourth. He said, I wish I went to him, I spoke to him, I could have been the fourth Muslim on this earth. And that is a great honor. But it also shows you, I want you to imagine the Prophet in Mecca. The message has not spread yet. It's slowly spreading. And already they are living by Islam, but Islam is something very strange. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, Bada al-Islam ghareeb. Islam started as something very strange. You also have one of the earliest Muslims. Some of the ulama say he was the first to accept Islam, but that all depends on how you look at it. This person that we're about to talk about is the greatest human being after all of the prophets. I want you to deep that. There's no single human being that is greater than him after the prophets. And that's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. I made a mistake. I was going to say Abdullah ibn Uthman. And then let you guys guess who's Abdullah ibn Uthman. Abdullah ibn Uthman is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. That's his name. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand if you didn't know that Abdullah ibn Uthman was his actual name. Raise your hand. Yeah, you know what? My plan was to say the greatest Abdullah ibn Uthman. You're like, what? Who's that? Right? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's actual name is Abdullah. And his father's name is Uthman. So what's his name? Abdullah ibn Uthman. But he was known as Abu Bakr. And as-Siddiq was a name or a nickname or a label given to him. But Abdullah ibn Uthman, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr was a very special person. He was special before he became Muslim. And he was even more special after he became Muslim. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. What made him so special? Let's pause for a second and go back. When he was younger, he was very similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never indulged in idol worship as a young boy? He hated it. He was never involved in it. He didn't like that his people did it, right? Abu Bakr was extremely similar. Abi Quhafa one day, his father, took him to his tribe's idol, and he was from the Bani Tamim tribe. And he said, "Ya bunayya hadhihi alihatuk. Oh my boy, these are your gods." And Abu Bakr, as a young boy, looked at these idols. And then when his father left, hoping that his son grows up idolizing them, he said, "Inni ja'i'un fa'at'imni. Oh idol, I am hungry, feed me. These rocks that we have carved ourselves." And he didn't. From that day on, he did not glorify the idols the way Quraysh did. And he grew up like that. Allah protected him from that. Is that the only thing he has in common with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. He was also known in Mecca for his exemplary honor and character. And subhanAllah, what was the statement Khadija said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he came back from the cave of Hira, the first night he received revelation, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was anxious and he didn't know what happened to him. And Khadija said, "Wallahi la yaghzik Allah abada, never will Allah humiliate you, Muhammad. You take care of the weak, you stand up for the oppressed, you keep the ties of kinship, you help those in need." The exact same words. When you read it, it's fascinating. And it was said to him when? Much later, after Abu Bakr becomes a Muslim, and he lives in Mecca for a while, and things become so difficult for him. Abu Bakr, this is after the migration, and we'll get to it. So some of the companions, they migrate to Abyssinia, Abu Bakr doesn't. And at some point, Abu Bakr can't take the living in Mecca anymore, and he decides to leave. And as he is leaving, he comes across a man that knew him from before. And this man, he says to him, "Abu Bakr, why are you traveling?" And he said, "My people will not allow me to worship Allah." And then he says, "Someone like you is never banished. You keep the ties of kinship. You help the oppressed. You support those that are in burden and in need." Similar characteristics. He was so similar to our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't like idolatry. He and the Prophet are also very similar in age. Only 2 years is the Abu Bakr younger than the Prophet. And they are really good friends. So after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls his nephew and his wife to Islam, he goes to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And here you'll find something very, very special about Abu Bakr. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I want you to also keep this in mind, right? Remember when I told you the story of Zayd ibn Haritha and how he was adopted by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that story? How Zayd said to his father, "I want to stay with Muhammad because I see something special in him." There was something special about our Prophet that the people that knew him and were around him knew that he was different than the rest. And that's what often made it easy for people to believe he was the Prophet, because of his exemplary character. There was something about him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put nur and light in his heart from the time that he was 4 years old. Subhanallah. He goes to Abu Bakr. And he tells Abu Bakr, "Abu Bakr, I am the messenger of Allah." And he tells Abu Bakr that Angel Jibreel came to him, gave him the message and the mission. And immediately Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, "Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah. I testify and bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah." He did not hesitate. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would mention this. He would mention this. And he would say, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he would say that I have presented Islam to all of you. He would say this to his companions. To his companions, he would say, "Remember, I presented Islam to him. He had not one moment of hesitation." Allah says in the Quran, "وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكُمْ الْمُتَّقُونَ وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ And the one who came with the truth. Who's that? Who came with the truth? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ And the one who believed the truth. وَصَدَّقَ That is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was called As-Siddiq because of his firm belief. His iman was so high, nothing can compete with it. And Abu Bakr was so special to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that from the moment he said, La ilaha illallah, until the Prophet's last moment, there was no one dearer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam than Abu Bakr. And there was no one closer to him than Abu Bakr. And there was no one more knowledgeable about Islam than Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was different than all the companions knew. All the companions. A man is upon the religion and the way and the character of their friends. So be careful who you befriend. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq accepts Islam. And all of a sudden, things change. Abu Bakr was not just a passive participant. Okay, accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, that's it. He immediately went to work. He immediately went to work and took initiative. I'll tell you a fact that maybe some of you don't know. The 10 that are promised Jannah. The 10 that are promised Jannah. There are 10 companions who in one sitting, the Prophet told them that you're all going to Jannah. Among those 10, you have the first 4 Khulafa. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. We know Ali became Muslim in the Prophet's household. Umar ibn Khattab will become Muslim a little bit later, a few years later. So, and we'll have a whole lecture dedicated to the Islam of Umar. The 3rd Khalifa, the man when he would walk and the angels would be shy around him. The angels would be shy around him. Uthman ibn Affan, whom the Prophet ﷺ said that he is from the people of Jannah. Uthman ibn Affan, who today, by the way, and this is an interesting fact, owns hotels in Mecca. How does he own a hotel in Mecca? How does he own a hotel in Mecca? And he has a bank account, Uthman ibn Affan. How does he have that? Because the... Yes, Akhi, go ahead. Yes. Abu Bakr bought land for the Muslims. He purchased land and a well, not for himself, but for who? For the Muslims to benefit from. It was sadaqa jariya. And the Muslims would drink for free. And that land produced wealth. And some of that wealth would be more property. And then Uthman died and it continued all the way to our generation today. There's a hotel in Mecca that's called Uthman ibn Affan. And the proceedings that come from the earnings of the hotel, they go back into charity. That's Uthman ibn Affan. But guess what? Abu Bakr gets some ajr for that. Why? Who called Uthman to Islam? Abu Bakr. Every good thing that Uthman did, Abu Bakr has a portion of it because he's the one that called him to Islam. Uthman ibn Affan. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha, who put his body in the line for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Uhud, to the point where his whole body, and we'll get to the battle of Uhud, and you will see how much loved so much, who was like an uncle to the Prophet because he was from the same tribe as the Prophet's mother. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Sa'ad is my uncle, show me who your uncle is. That's how much he loved Sa'ad ibn Waqqas, who was there at the day of Uhud, shielding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sa'ad, and there's no one else the Prophet said that about. Sa'ad, irmi ya Sa'ad. Shoot, O Sa'ad. Keep defending Islam and the Muslims. Keep fighting, O Sa'ad. Fidaaka abi wa ummi. I prefer you over my own mom and dad. The Prophet ﷺ said to Sa'ad. Who called him to Islam? Abu Bakr. These great, great pillars of our deen. These great men. Who called him to Islam? Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr immediately, as he says, La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah, he gets to work and he's bringing in these gems. Abu Salama, the husband of Ummu Salama, who would later on become the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he passed away, who calls him to Islam, Abu Bakr. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, such an honorable, great companion, who had the honor to lead the Prophet in Salah. Who called him to Islam, Abu Bakr. What I'm trying to highlight is these great men that are becoming the supporters, the companions, the friends of Rasulullah that we all love, name our children after. Who called them to Islam? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And that is the impact. Who freed Bilal from Umayy ibn Khalaf, put his money down and brought him out of slavery and had Bilal become the man who stands next to the Prophet, who calls the Adhan, who's a pillar of the deen. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And on and on and on it goes. So, sometimes the barakah of Abu Bakr, the barakah of Abu Bakr and his family is so much. Who is the most beloved person to the Prophet ﷺ out of everyone? The Prophet, one day said it was, is narrated by Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Abu Bakr to him was different than anyone else. And one day there was a dispute between the Prophet, between Abu Bakr and Umar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam became so upset, so angry, that he stood up and he said, "Don't you ever say anything about Abu Bakr. He's the one that believed in me when you all didn't." The bond between Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ was special. And one day when the Prophet ﷺ needed the companions to collect a lot of wealth together, a lot of wealth together, and we'll get to that, inshallah ta'ala, in the seerah. Abu Bakr brought everything he owned. And he said to the Prophet, when the Prophet ﷺ said, "You shouldn't have done this, leave something for your family." The Prophet tried to thank him. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, me, my wealth and everything I own belongs to you." That's why, my brothers and my sisters, we love all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love and cherish all of these great men and women who each one of them had a huge part to play in the spread of Islam. But when we speak about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, we have to understand how much, 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 much greater rank he was compared to the rest. But as I said, they were all great. They were all great. So that is the Islam of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and the benefit that he brought. We also have, my brothers and sisters, Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha. Now, Zayd ibn Haritha was the freed slave of the Prophet ﷺ and his adopted son. Zayd becomes Muslim immediately as well. Do in this season of lectures that we're doing, he will feature heavily in that lecture, because this is when the Prophet will make a very important trip to Taif, and the Prophet will experience the most difficult day of his life. Next to him was Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd accepted Islam as well. Those four that I mentioned, the four are Khadija, Ali, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and Zayd ibn Haritha were the first four Muslims. They were the first four Muslims. And then you have everyone that became a Muslim as a result of Abu Bakr, and everyone else that also accepted Islam. And you had many. You had many that became Muslim, and they were of different social standings. Another person that became Muslim very early. Who can tell me who is Ummu Ayman? Come on, guys. I will forgive you if all of you guys, this is your first day or your second day, but if you were here from day one, you should know who Ummu Ayman is. Na'am, akhi. You could argue that she is the second mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was there with him from a young age. She was a servant that was freed by the Prophet's father, Abdullah, and she became part of the Prophet's household. Her name was Baraka, and she was from Abyssinian or Ethiopian descent, and she lived with the Prophet from the time that he was young. When the Prophet ﷺ went to Medina as a six-year-old boy, and his mother passed away, who was with him? Ummu Ayman. Who brought him to Mecca to his grandfather? Ummu Ayman. Who was part of his household all this time? Ummu Ayman. Who, when he becomes a prophet, is still part of his household? Ummu Ayman. And when the Prophet ﷺ, great companions. One of the things that is, you have a question, Akhi. Okay, what is your question? Yes, he is. Zayd ibn Harith is. So this, what's your name, Akhi? Arya? So Arya has asked me, is Zayd also the one that is mentioned in the Quran? Yes, he is. He's the companion that mentioned my name in the Quran, Zayd ibn Haritha. Barakallahu feek. So you have these four that were the first Muslims. And then you have others as well. And these others that accepted Islam, of course, you have Ummu Ayman that I just spoken about. So far, how many names did I give you guys? Huh? if we remove the ones that became Muslim because of Abu Bakr, how many did I give you? I give you 4 or 5. If you add Umm Ayman, how many do you have? We have 5, and then we have the ones that accepted Islam. And I want to highlight more that if you look at the different type of people that were accepting Islam, you had, let's look at the woman. Many women were accepting Islam early on. And the deen doesn't discriminate between young and old, nor does it discriminate between man and woman. The deen of Allah, once it is delivered, it is something everyone can attach themselves to and accept. And if, what did I say is the first person after the Prophet ﷺ that prayed and put her head for Allah and made sujood? Who was that? Yes? Khadija? Very good, Khadija. Were you going to say Khadija? Good. Do you know who was the first person that will be killed as a martyr? The woman that were the believers and the companions, how front and center they were to the da'wah, how front and center they were to the mission, how front and center they were to Islam. Ummu Ayman, Khadija, Sumayya, Ummu Salama, all great companions of the Prophet, early Muslims. Then you have the youngsters. Zayd ibn Harith was not old when he becomes a Muslim. Ali ibn Talib is only 10. Sa'd ibn Waqas was in his teens when he's becoming Muslim. So you had people that were young, not only accepting Islam, but standing up for the deen and accepting that this Islam that they have, even if they struggle for it, even if they're harmed for it, they will hold on to it like nothing else. So you had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam religion and the message and the da'wah, those that supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have the woman, and we have the youngsters and the children. And then you had those that were regarded weak socially. And what do I mean those that were regarded weak socially? People that were either in servitude, or they were recently freed, or they were foreigners, or they were poor. These people also gravitated to Islam as well. And again, because no matter what your social standing is or how society regards you as, no matter how young you are, no matter what your gender is, the moment you say La ilaha illallah, your stocks shoot up. You become the most important person in society because of the deen that you carry. And that's the way we look at the world. Those that say La ilaha illallah, their value, no matter what you, how much, it doesn't matter how much is in your bank, it doesn't matter how society regards you, your value comes from your deen. And that's why you have people like, and think about, and the elite said, وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا. The only people that are following you are the feeble, the weak, those that were socially disregarded. And here you had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ammar, Yasir, Sumayya, Bilal, Suhaib, Khabab, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, they were not regarded as the elite in Quraysh. But they were, wallahi, there was no one more elite than them. There was no one more elite and greater than them. And they were also part of the building blocks of Muslim society and part of the building blocks of those that were there from the beginning, memorizing the Quran, praying in secret, struggling with the difficulty of living in a society that doesn't want your faith or your deen, standing by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, feeling you had those that were regarded by society of lower standard, although in Allah's eyes they were of the highest standards. And then you also had those that had somewhat of a social standing, your Abu Bakr's, Uthman ibn Affan, and other than them. And that shows you that Islam enters in all levels of society. And these were the first Muslims. And what you find fascinating, my brothers and sisters, is the people that became Muslim in this time, they are seen differently by Allah in the Quran than those that became Muslim later. Allah calls them as-sabiqun, al-awwalun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلُ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah says in the Quran, those that lived Islam and fought with the Prophet before the conquest of Mecca are not the same and became Muslims later. And all of them, there is great in them, and all of them going to Jannah, and all of the companions, they have their value and their worth. All of them. And all of them are special in their own way. But the most special among the special were those that became Muslim early on, because it wasn't easy going against society. Can you imagine being Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu? He said in a narration, I was the seventh of seven. I was the seventh or the eighth of seven, meaning literally we were less than 10 Muslims in all of the world. And that is something to be proud of later on, but it can be quite scary when you're living it. It can be quite scary when everybody is going this way to say, no, I am going that way. And that's why they have this honor. This is why, and let me tell you something that you are all perhaps familiar with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, لا تسبوا أصحابي. You will not be able to reach even half of them. Do you understand that? That there is no amount of good deeds that we can do. There is no amount of good deeds that we can do that will make us reach the places, the height of iman, virtue, and worth as it is to Allah that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ reached. And we love them for that. And we appreciate that if we would not be able to do what they've done, Allah chose them to be the men and the women around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? The Prophet ﷺ loved them, and they loved him. And they loved each other. Now what's fascinating is, you'd assume that hadith is talking to non-companions. Right? That's what you assume. Don't insult my companions. You will not be able to reach them. But if the Prophet is saying this, who is he talking to? Other companions. To the companions that became Muslim later on. And he was saying, those that accepted Islam later on, don't you dare compare yourselves to the Abu Bakrs and the Uthmans and the Alis and the Zayd and the Khabbabs. You will not be able to reach those. We are not able to reach any of the companions of Prophet ﷺ. But that just shows you the virtue of the first Muslims. Another few points that I want to actually share is, one of them is that a lot of them we don't know. How many of you heard of a companion called Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-As? Somebody might say that he was among the first 10 Muslims, but most people don't know him. And other, he became Muslim because he saw a dream. His father, Sa'id ibn al-As, was one of the worst enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he sees in a dream that his father is about to throw him into a fire, and the Prophet saves him. And then he wakes up and Muhammad, tell me what you are about and what your message is. And he accepts Islam. And he stays in Mecca. He hides from his father until finally he travels to Abyssinia with Ja'far ibn Talib and the rest. We'll cover the lecture about the travel to Abyssinia, inshallah, in a future lecture. And then he was there for many, many years. And later he comes to Medina to the Prophet ﷺ, and he died later on. Most people don't know him, but he was among those early companions, and there are so many. There are so many that period. Al-Arqam, of course, people know him because his house was used as refuge for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are too many to count. The Al-Yasir family, and we'll cover them inshallah ta'ala, because next week's lesson, I believe, is about the difficulties they faced. The difficulties that the Sahaba faced in early Mecca as the da'wah became more public and the difficulties became more and the pressures and how they handled that. What are some of the lessons that we can learn from viewing these early Muslims? Number one, what we learn is, we learn about the people that we should regard as our heroes before anyone else. Look up to Khadija bint Khuwaylid. My favorite person in history is Khabbab ibn Arad. This is what I want to hear. That the greatest person that I want after the Prophet ﷺ is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. That you learn their names, their stories. And I want you to take this as homework. Ask yourself this question. Who were the early Muslims? There are some names that I didn't mention now. And subhanallah, we may not know them, but Allah does. We may not know them, but Allah does. And that's the beauty of learning the seerah, is that you meet these great people that loved your Prophet
sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that protected our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that believed in our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that were there for him, and put their lives and their wealth on the line for the message that eventually reached us. You learn about the fact that they were from different social classes and different types, and that doesn't matter. And now, for those that, as a woman, you have no place when it comes to the spread of Islam, the propagating of the religion, the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the standing up for the truth, and being that pillar in society that Khadija and Sumayya and Ayman were, then look again, because these are your role models. And that those of you that think that your wealth is just for you to build, businesses and to buy fast cars, I want you to look at Abu Bakr, and I want you to look at Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and I want you to look at Uthman ibn Affan, who understood that the wealth Allah gave them, they are meant to help it with the spread and the message of La ilaha illallah. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to conclude here and take some questions. And I want to say, finally, inshallah ta'ala, next week, we will cover the early Islam and the difficulties that will follow our social media. There will be a special Q&A session for the sisters, because often they don't get as much interaction with the imams as we would like. So inshallah ta'ala, keep it in mind as well. And if Muhsin can pass me the tablet, if there are any questions. If the brothers have any questions, you can raise your hand as well, inshallah ta'ala. And we conclude here. هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. نعم. The woman that looked after the Prophet after he passed away, I think you're referring to Ayman. Ayman, her name was Baraka. Her name was Baraka, Ayman, and she was from Habasha, which is Ethiopia. After knowing, this person is asking, after knowing all of this information, the hadith about them, unfortunately, Shaitan has been very busy and has worked hard in deviating many groups, and among them are the groups such as the Rafida or the Shia, that do not like and sometimes even hate and insult the great companions like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And for them we say, may Allah guide them. They haven't deviated from the haqq, that loving Abu Bakr is part and parcel of our deen, and may Allah guide them. And they have been misguided. And they have been misguided by their scholars. They have been misguided by their books. And only if you go just to the Quran, you will find Abu Bakr being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? In Surah Al-Layl, Allah referenced Abu Bakr. And in Surah Tawbah, Allah mentions, إِذْ يَقُولِ صَاحِبَهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And wallahi, those that have hatred towards him, I fear for their akhirah. May Allah guide them is all that I can say. May Allah guide them. Are there any more questions from the brothers? Na'am, akhi. Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Yes. Very good. If you were here last week or the week before, then we spoke about this. So this brother is saying, Waraqa ibn Nawfal, did he accept Islam? We're talking about the first Muslims. Why is he not being mentioned? And there are some narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw in my... He died before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet did say in a hadith, I saw Waraqa in a dream and he was wearing white robes, white clothing. And this is interpreted as him being from the people of Jannah. He did not have the opportunity to accept the message of the Prophet ﷺ as a prophet when Allah tells him, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, and he has to spread the message because he wasn't there then. But he is considered among the Muslims. I hope that answers your question. Barakallahu feek. So, and there are some people that say Waraqa should be mentioned among the first Muslims, and we can. But I was focusing on after the Prophet ﷺ started to preach in secret, the people that believed in his message. But jazakallah khair for that. Barakallah feek. Yes, Talha? Can I tell you the story of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail? Not now, but I will, inshallah ta'ala, because he's among the people that were from the early people that believed in the way of Prophet Ibrahim, and he was upon Hanifiyya. And he is a very important figure to understand, because he was upon the same way of thinking as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the Prophet becomes a Prophet. Barakallahu fiqh. We have Umar. Naam, akhi. Yes. So, in other words, so Umar is asking, the narration that mentions, you will not be able to reach my companions even if you give the mountain of gold. We said that for us, it would mean that all the companions, the way we understand that, for us, it's all of those that were the companions of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But for the people that were hearing that message, is among those that accepted Islam, and that could be before the conquest of Mecca, those that were participating in the battles, those that were either maimed or killed or suffered. Because after the conquest of Mecca, Islam became much more popular and easier to do. So that would be one interpretation. But generally speaking, when we say the Sabiqun, the early Muslims, or the most early of the Muslims, we're talking about the ones that I talked about today, right? But for example, among the early companions would include Umar al-Khattab. And Umar al-Khattab will become Muslim 6 years after the story that we told today. Barakallahu feek. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to conclude here. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. هذا آخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.